This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Progressive helps you compare direct auto rates from a variety of companies so you can find a great one, even if it's not with them. Quote today at progressive.com to find a rate that works with your budget. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Hello and welcome to This Day in Esoteric Political History from Radiotopia. My name is Jody Avergan. This day, April 20th, 1787, I think it was actually April 21st in 1787, the Congress of the Confederation of the United States authorized a design for an official copper penny. This was the country's first coin. It is referred to as the Fugio cent or the Franklin cent, 10 grams of copper. It was indeed designed by Ben Franklin. If one of you listening has one of these coins, this is a good chance to point out that Radiotopia is a listener-supported network. We can only do this show through the generous contributions of our audience. These coins are worth a fair amount. No surprise. Maybe like $10,000 or so for some of the rarer mints. We'll get into kind of all the different versions of this coin that are floating around. But here to discuss our country's very first coin are, as always, Nicole Hemmer of Columbia and Kelly Carter Jackson of Wellesley. Hello.
Hello, Jody.
Hey there.
So, Nikki, where do we start? Why does this country say we need to make a coin?
Look, a stable currency is something that is very valuable to a country. Mm-hmm. And even though it's going to be like a century before the U.S. starts printing its own banknotes, having a stable hard currency is really important. So people are minting their own copper pennies, something they called coppers, but they would degrade over time and people would like chip little pieces off of them. And so they were weighted to the price of copper. And if there is less copper in your copper, it's worth a lot less. And so people were finding that they were taking a penny from someone and giving them the full face value. And then they would weigh it and they would realize, oh, it's not actually worth that much. And so there was a real instability to this kind of coinage. And the federal government thought that it might be a good idea to step in and have something more stable and that had the backing of the federal government.
That's so funny because that word stable, I mean, I'm realizing it does two things here, right? It's both like in a physical sense, like it just needs to be sturdy. But then it's obviously in this more like money is a fiat kind of thing. And, you know, we did an episode a while back, but with Jacob Goldstein, who was the host of Planet Money. He wrote this book called like Money, The Amazing Story of a Made-Up Thing, I think is the name of the book. But great book. But in that, he described this kind of like free-for-all moment where just like different parts of the country had different money, and you would have to kind of like go, if you went to a new part of the country and you didn't have the right kind of money, like people were just making their money on their own. So like, you know, this is a big part of this sort of project of building a, you know, quote unquote real country.
Yeah. And this is kind of the first step before that. Before you get fiat paper money, you have these coins that are connected to precious metals. So you have gold coins and silver coins. And then because most people don't have that much money, you also have these little copper coins. And so this is a way of introducing some stability in a pre-greenback kind of day.
Yeah.
And can I just say that these coins are kind of cute?
Yes.
Like, they're so pretty.
Like, they're so pretty. Like, normally, you know, I feel like the penny has been so disrespected as of late. Like, you know, we throw it away. If it's on the ground, we're not bending over to get it. You know, like, we don't put that much stock in pennies. But if you get a chance to go online and actually see what this actual coin looked like, the design of it is really quite interesting. And so it's, you know, it's referred to the Fugio cent because of the image of the sun and the sun shining down on a sundial with the caption of Fugio, meaning I fly, or referring to the idea of time flying by, I think is probably something that, you know, is helpful to think about. But yeah, the design is actually pretty interesting. And it's, you know, at a time when they're doing this for the very first time, thinking about what's going to go on the coin and the symbols and the language, I think is all an important part of the process too.
Yeah. And well, let's paint a picture of this coin. And I mean, you know, I will just say my notion of Ben Franklin as a guy who just kind of like is a little extra and does a lot of stuff. This coin represents that. I mean, it is beautiful, but there is a lot crammed into this coin. You know? And it's like, you could tell this is like, what is Ben Franklin, right? Like, he woke up at 3 a.m. before everyone else, and he just like designed the crap out of this coin.
He really did. And I think it's worth talking about, because on one side, it has the kind of traditional patriotic imagery that you might imagine. There are 13 linked circles, which is mm-hmm. a symbol of the 13 colonies. It says, "We are one" in the middle of it. So there's a nationalist project behind it. But on the other side, as Kelly was saying, it's got this like little play on words with the image of the sundial and Fugio. Underneath it says, "Mind your business," because he had to put some sort of aphorism on it about like both mind your own business, but also mind your business. This is part of trade. This is part of currency. It's a very Ben Franklin kind of coin.
Can I be dark, though? Because I Please. Was really looking at the chains and the chain links, and I was like, slavery. Like, that's the first, I mean, you kind of think of, like, all 13 colonies have slavery. And so if you think about what is the basis, the economic basis of this country, the chain link, I think, is a powerful symbol for how we understand, you know, our economic and political foundations.
Absolutely, yeah. And that phrase also that's on the flip side, that mind your business, you know, obviously that can play two ways. You know, mind your businesses and be good with your money. And then the other one, like, stop looking at my coin, mind your business.
Mind your own business.
But I think the scholarship indicates that maybe Franklin wasn't doing it as a play on words, and that mind your business as in, like, this is none of your beeswax. That phrase didn't really exist at the time. So it was a little more Ben Franklin, sort of one of his, you know, classic adages of just like...
Yeah, sort of farmer's almanac kind of
saying. Exactly.
Yeah, keep track of your affairs.
Yeah. So we should talk a little bit about how this coin actually got printed, right? It gets designed. There's a sort of decision to print a number of these. The logistics of this, let's call it the RFP, is that the phrase? The like request for proposals, the contracting out of this. This is maybe, you know, one of our first ever kind of like sketchy, chaotic government contract stories as well, right?
Yeah, no, it's a complete scam. So it wasn't necessarily meant to be, but this guy named James Jarvis receives one of these contracts. And first of all, he can't find enough copper for the millions of pennies that he promised to print. He hires a guy named Abel Buell, who is the guy who designed the printer. He invents a mint machine that allows you to mint many more coins at one time. But because they never have enough copper, because Jarvis goes over to Europe in order to try to find more copper, and while he's gone, one of his partners is like, I can actually make a lot more money printing coins for other people than for the U.S. government. And so he uses up most of the extant copper in order to run this side scam. And so when the federal government comes calling and is like, give us our pennies, they're like, here you go. They have like a few hundred thousand pennies. And the federal government is like, you promised us like millions upon millions of pennies. What have you done? And they all just flee the country because they know they have nothing to give the government.
And that's part of the rarity of the coin as well, is that there's only like 400,000 of them printed up. So when you think about that in circulation, you know, if you still had one today, it would definitely be worth a lot of money.
Yeah. And then, you know, I think over in subsequent years, or just because of the chaotic nature of this, there's also this element of there's like, I think 55 different varieties of this, because mm-hmm. they kept having to make new dies and make corrections and change it. So I think the numismatics among our listenership will probably correct me here. But, you know, I think there is this kind of like, depending on which one of these mm-hmm. coins you have, that depends how valuable it was. But wait, I want to go back to one thing, which is, mm-hmm. Nikki, you told the whole story of the chaos around building this thing. You didn't even mention that this all started with just a straight up $10,000 bribe to get the contract.
I mean, that's pretty normal government business, right?
Yeah. But you know, it is also this interesting. I mean, look, I'm no government scammer here, but I'm just thinking in real time, you know, if your contract is to make money, maybe you should just wait until you're actually printing the money and then just skim some off on the side. Maybe that's the way to run the scam. I don't know.
That's right. But like, keep your 10% off the top.
Right, exactly.
Finder's fee.
run the machines after hours. You know, wake up with Ben Franklin and run the machines, and no one will know, be the wiser. So as we start to wrap up, I mean, what do we know about what happens to this batch of coins, and are they still floating around? Where do things stand?
Well, yeah, there's 819 of these coins have been held by the Bank of New York for over 200 years. So they're likely, you know, on the bank books with as a $8.19 value. There's some mini low grade, you know, a few gross cents out there. Some collectors will pay upwards of $10,000 for a rare, you know, excellent condition coin. But for the most part, you know, the majority of these coins have really just been lost. And so there's not too many of them that you would ever find in circulation.
Yeah, in part because they didn't entirely all go into circulation. At one point, someone, I can't remember if it was in Congress or one of the banks, just found a giant barrel of them sitting in the basement. Mm-hmm. That just had never really gotten into circulation. And so you have these collector coins. The value changes. It might be a couple hundred dollars for some, thousands of dollars for others. I think that the Bank of New York is not being entirely honest when they count them as $8.19 worth of coinage. But yeah, if you find one, get yourself to a numismatic authority and have them let you know what you've got.
Yeah. And just to add one little tidbit here. So this is 1787 we're talking about. It's actually just a year later that E Pluribus Unum starts to get added to coins, and the seal of the United States is there. So really just this one little moment where it seemed like Ben Franklin was freelancing a little bit with his design.
The English language had its moment.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Pushed out by Latin.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of the episode. This has been very fun. And again, if you have one of these, get in touch. We are listener supported.
Happy to take them off your hands.
Exactly. Nicole Hemmer, thanks to you as always.
Thanks, Jody.
And Kelly Carter Jackson, thanks to you.
My pleasure.
This Day in Esoteric Political History is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, a network of independent, listener-supported, artist-owned podcasts. Our researcher and producer is Jacob Felbin. Our producer is Brittany Brown. Kala Nakua helps with our transcripts, which you can find at our website, thisdaypod.com. Also on our website is a way to get in touch with us and a way to support the show directly if you would like. Follow us on social media. We're at thisdaypod on Instagram and Twitter. My name is Jody Avergan. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you soon.
Radiotopia.